This is Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
The Messiah, the anointed one we're looking for, is going to live. He's going to stomp heads. He's going to take no names and take no prisoners. How is it, they're asking him, how is it you speak of death, yet we're looking for someone who's going to live? Explain that to us. They couldn't get it. They didn't understand. See, there was something missing, some information missing. They had embraced the final result. Everlasting kingdom, the King of Kings, the one who comes and destroys and is victorious, but they had failed to grasp and understand, comprehend, factor in those scriptures that spoke about the path to this glory and victory.
In the New Testament, Jesus came as the promised Messiah that the Jews had been waiting for. However, he didn't come in the way that most of them were wanting or expecting. Jesus fulfilled everything that he was prophesied to do. But it wasn't always in the way people thought. In today's message, Pastor Troy will be sharing about this principle of God. Sometimes God will make us a promise, but it might not be fulfilled in the way we want it to be. We have to trust the process of God's promises. Now, here's Pastor Troy in the book of John chapter 12 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
The cross teaches us that you can actually give up everything here. Because there's something beyond this. Otherwise, Jesus would have lived a totally different life, showed us how to live. He would have made a lot of money and showed us how to do it the right way. And he would have had a lot of kids and marriage and all these things. And he would have done all of those things, showing us, this is how you live it up, guys. This is how you do it. This is how you're supposed to do the life. I came to give life and life more abundantly. Here it is. But he denied himself all of that. He didn't acquire any of that. Told others, hey, I have no place to lay my head because I'm looking for something beyond the cross, beyond the grave, beyond this life. And so the cross judges the world because it causes the world to make a decision whether to follow Christ or to live for self. Jesus came to bear witness to the truth and to show by an example the value of eternal life over this life. He came to save, to seek and to save. But there will come a time when those who do not respond to his offer of salvation, they don't respond to it. They say no. They reject it. They refuse it. Maybe they don't outright say, I don't want it. They just keep living life without it, though the offer's been there. There comes a time where they will be judged. There was a young man who moved to New York, was unfamiliar with the traffic patterns of New York. So he just kind of goes out, not looking left and right, just kind of goes out. And this older, very kind gentleman reaches out and grabs him, pulls him back, says, Sonny, you know, you got to be careful around here. There's traffic all over. It was a very, very kind, gentle guy. And the guy was very appreciative. Well, over time, you know, a month or a couple months go by, the guy had kind of turned to thieving. He ends up in court. And as he stands, he's thinking, man, I recognize this judge. I've seen him somewhere. And then it hits him. This is that nice, kind guy that saved me. I mean, I would have been killed. And so he just sort of tries to remind the judge of that time. Hey, Judge, you know, I'm that nice guy. I was there, and you saved me. You were so kind to me. Maybe you'd give me another chance now. And the man said, Son, then I was your savior. But today, here, I'm the judge. Time for saving was then. But what you choose to do led you here now, before the judge, and you're guilty. That's what's going to happen. Jesus will say later on in this chapter, John chapter 12, verse 47 and 8, "And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day." That's the bad thing about hearing the word and walking away, not responding, is you heard. Oh, man. Second, so first, the world is judged by it. Second, the ruler is cast out by it. Verse 31, "Now the ruler of this world will be cast out." In other words, the one who's been behind the scenes influencing the culture, creating wrong cultures and misdirecting the people, blinding the people, he is being exposed in this now. And I am enabling, I am empowering you as a recipient. The joy set before me, part of that joy is I'm going to enable you to overcome him. He thought he won, but he hasn't. And I'm going to enable you to win, to walk victoriously in this life. Now that's joy. That's something to rejoice over. So the ruler is cast out by it. And third, people can be saved by it. Verse 32, "And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself." Now, this is a verse that has been taken out of context on many occasions, especially, and I'm a musician type, but especially by songwriters. Lift up Jesus. Let's lift up Jesus. Well, verse 33 tells us what he means by being lifted up here. This he said, signifying by what death he would die. So, hey, let's lift up Christ. It's like, just instead of lifting up, don't think putting him on a chair and going, yeah, he's lifted up. That's not the picture here. It's, he's on the ground, he's been nailed to a cross, and then so that everyone can see him, let's pull him up and lock him into place. Nails in hand. Lift him up so that all can see. Now, I understand the sentiment. I still sing songs with lifting him up. What we mean is, let's lift his name, the name above all names. Let's exalt him. But this is the background, the idea of lifting him up. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting or eternal life." Remember that scene? The children of Israel were grumbling and complaining. God sent serpents biting, and the people were dying from the serpent bites. Well, God said, hey, I want you to build, you know, use a stick, put a serpent on it, lift it up before the people. And if the people look to it, not just like casually glance at, did you see that serpent? Yeah, I saw the serpent, but I got saved because I accidentally saw the serpent. Not that. It is a, I am dying right now. I should be running for help. I should be writing my will or whatever it is. But instead of that, instead of taking care of number one, I'm going to look to that. I'm going to stand, I'm going to look to that. And I'm going to trust that I'm going to be healed. So I'm not going to try to take care of it myself. I'm going to trust that when he says, look at that, you will be healed. And that's exactly what happened. The serpent obviously represented Christ. Christ is no serpent. He's battling the serpent. But at that moment on the cross, all the sin of the world was upon him. And that's what that represented. The look to the cross is that look of faith. We trust in him by faith. The idea of God having them lift up that serpent was this. What will save you is faith and not science. We look for scientific explanations for everything, don't we? Well, how did this happen? Well, it's a miracle. No, it's not a miracle because it's really this. You know, we'll say, some will go so far as to say, the sun rising, it's just a miracle. And then you go to the scientists and they go, you're dumb. Here's how it happens. Here's how it works. And this is why we can be a little weird when we talk about faith. It's not a miracle. The sun rising and setting is not a miracle. It happens every day. Don't wake up going, oh, a miracle again. Well, we know it's going to happen. We can predict it. It's not a miracle. It's miraculous. A baby being born is not a miracle. It happens every day, lots of times a day. Now, doctors may say, and it's true, it is very miraculous, the way all of this comes together, but it happens every day. There's something that has been set in motion where it all works. God has set it in motion. That's what science discovers. Science discovers the motions, the things that cause the motion and the thing to happen consistently. But what science can never do, which we have and we can do, science tells us how it works. And here's the motion, and here's what sets it, and here's how A goes to B goes to C, and that's how it works. But what science can never tell us is who started it, who set it in motion. But that's where the Bible comes into play. Yes, it's consistent. Yes, it works that way. But who started it? We know. And so the idea of being lifted up was that we would look to Him by faith. We'd be drawn to Him by faith. And we would be saved. And there's no scientific explanation for it. Do you know what draws people to Christ? It's the cross. It also repels people. It's like, you know, when you drop oil or certain chemicals in, there are chemicals that are drawn to it. There are chemicals that spread out as far away. Well, that's like the cross. There is no middle. There is no middle. The cross is there. You look to it and you're repulsed and you walk the other way, or you're going, that's what I need. What a rich, wretched, pitiful, oh man. And the closer you get to the cross, two things happen. One, you realize how miserable you are, how much you need Him, but you also begin to see how much love He has for you. There's a time where you're looking at the cross and there are friends walking away from the cross, and you got two cultures pulling on you. You got the cross culture and you got your culture, whatever culture you've been amongst, your friends, they make up your culture. But what happens to us when we get there in the end depends on which culture we find ourselves gravitating toward, in what direction we find ourselves going.
Pastor Troy will return soon with the second half of today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock. If you're enjoying the teachings of Pastor Troy Neely and would like more information about this program, we invite you to visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. There, you'll find an archive of previous messages from the verse-by-verse, chapter-by-chapter study of the books of the Bible. We'd also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, as you'll be able to gain access to the latest teachings as soon as they're posted. That website, again, is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We're blessed to be a part of your life through the teachings of this program, and we pray you're blessed as you continue to tune in. Now, back to Pastor Troy with more of today's message.
So, Jesus said, I, if I'm lifted up, will draw all peoples to myself. Once they realize the truth of their condition, the love demonstrated on the cross, that draws people to Christ. For God so loved the world that He gave. But it will also be the point of someone making a decision against Him, going, I don't need that. I'm not like that. How dare you call me a sinner? The cross is at the heart of the gospel. You know, the cross is only bloody because that's why people avoid it. So bloody, so bloody. We don't need all the blood. The cross is only so bloody because sin is so vile. Funny, right? They don't like the bloody cross, but they go roll around in their sin. Like it's nothing. Oh, it's my hang up. Oh, I'm so sorry about it. You're rolling around in disgust. Something worse than blood. The blood of the cross. And you willingly do it because you don't understand. You really don't understand how vile your self-centered, sinful nature really is. It's vile. It's a stench in the nostrils of a God who gave everything. But once they realize the truth of their condition and they look to the cross and they go, they will not be rejected. He's God who draws people to Himself. The cross is at the heart of the gospel because the wages of sin is death. Now look at verse 34. The people answered Him, we have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever, and how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said to them, A little while longer the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. This is the last public teaching of Christ. This is what it means, and he was hidden from them. After this, the crowds won't find him. After this, he won't be preaching to the crowds. This is it. And this is a final message, an important message. So let's talk about the cross culture and the crowd, the people. The crowd is confused. This perplexes them because they can't reconcile his talk of, I'm the Messiah, I'm going to die, with the Messiah, the anointed one we're looking for, is going to live. He's going to stomp heads. He's going to take no names and take no prisoners. How is it, they're asking him, how is it you speak of death, yet we're looking for someone who's going to live? Explain that to us. They couldn't get it. They didn't understand. See, there was something missing, some information missing. They had embraced the final result, everlasting kingdom, the King of Kings, the one who comes and destroys and is victorious, but they had failed to grasp and understand, comprehend, factor in those scriptures that spoke about the path to this glory and victory. Oh, they just saw the victory. Come in, stomp them. But they didn't know, how are we getting to that point? How are we getting to that place? Well, it was through the cross. They understood the texts that spoke about the reigning Messiah. Yeah, that's who they were looking for. But they were a little confused by the text that spoke of a suffering servant. That doesn't make sense. Who is this guy? In Isaiah 53, this their own prophet, Isaiah 53, 5 and 6, says this of the Messiah. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Those were texts they didn't get, but it didn't really matter. We're going to win. We're going to win. I don't know what that means. I don't know how that fits in, but we're going to win. And that's all they really knew. Clearly, though, the scriptures, the prophets, they speak of two different experiences for the Messiah, the promised one. It's odd, like polar differences. On the one hand, you got the reigning king who comes in, judges. But then you have the suffering servant, which matches up pretty well with the idea of two separate comings. The first time he came and he rode in on the animal of peace. You know, the colt, the donkey. You know, no one goes into battle on a donkey. You know, if you go into the battle, you're not leaving the battle on a donkey, because they can walk faster than that. So they're going to catch you. So when you came in, when a king would come in or a dignitary would come in on a donkey, it said something. I come in peace. And that's what Jesus rode in on. But do you remember, guys, if you guys have gone through Revelation at all, do you know what he rides in on the second time? Is it a donkey? No, it's not a donkey. It's a white horse. And then there's something. It says coming out of his mouth. So he doesn't come in peace that time. And there's something coming out of his mouth. It's sharp, which is a picture of, I don't know, if there's a sword coming out of my Lord's mouth, he can do whatever he wants to. But it's a picture also of what Jesus had said about my word will judge them. If they do not receive my word, if they don't believe my word, then on that last battle, when I come in on the horse instead of the donkey, we'll wipe them out with that. And we will not miss. And it'll be a whole new era. So, the two comings of Jesus Christ. We're looking forward to the second coming. So in their confusion, they're trying to clarify all of this. So we can't reconcile this. So who is this Son of Man? How can you speak of death when we're looking for an eternal ruler? And Jesus goes on to say, you know, the light is with you right now. You see the light. You're here. You've experienced. You've been able to touch. You have experienced the light. And what he basically says in what he tells them about the light is, while I am so close and while you know what I'm saying is true and you're getting the light, this is the time to believe, because when you walk away, when I'm gone, when you walk away, the culture around you is going to bring nothing but darkness. They're going to cause you to forget. And it's never going to be easier for you to believe than right now while the light is right here shining on you. And if you walk away, you'll be surrounded by darkness. This is the time to believe. Not in 5 years, not tomorrow, when Christ comes near. And when Christ talks to you and speaks to your heart, that's the time to believe. It never gets easier for you to believe when you go, Lord, I feel like I'm talking to you. Let me go away and talk about it with my dark culture friends. You know, the friends who are surrounding me who say, don't get too godly now. Don't become too spiritual. Don't go to church too much. They'll change you. Don't go to them, because we got the cross culture. We live different. We see things differently. So Jesus is telling him, this is the opportunity to believe. The light is right in front of you. You know what you've seen and heard and experienced. Do not deny that. Next week, we'll talk a little bit about those who were a little bit worried about what others might think if they were converted, and how Jesus, what he thinks about that. Because he kind of tells us. So the cross culture confuses the world. That's what it does with the crowds. It confuses them. They say, it can't be that easy. Why would he die for me? Why would one man have to die for many? They don't get it. It confuses them. Look, here's how to make it easy. Do you deserve heaven? Just narrow it down to that. Do you deserve heaven based upon God's standards of perfection? Do you deserve it? Okay, if you don't, who cares if it's 20 people or one that God sent? There's a way to avoid hell and an eternity in that place where Jesus was. Why, my God, why have you forsaken me? No one wants to be there for all eternity. There's a way to avoid that. So the impact of the cross culture. Jesus, well, his ministry was validated. His love was demonstrated. Expressed completely. The world, well, the world is judged by it. A separation takes place because of it. The ruler is cast out because of it, and people can be saved now. The price has been paid. And now the crowd, well, the light has shone. We're no longer in darkness, or we don't have to be, because the light has come into the world. And guys, what has he said about you? You are the light of the world. You have become that light. You are the cross culture. We're not to blend in with the culture around us like we're incognito. We're different. That's why we have each other. We are not individuals blending into a culture. We are a culture. In and of ourselves. And we are not influenced by them. They are to want what we have. And God blesses what we have when we trust in him and we walk in him and his ways. So guys, if you've never felt significant or important, today you can. We don't have to try to fit in someone else. We don't have to find someone to love us. We're loved better, greater than anyone has ever been loved. And we have a culture right here. You want to be, you like rebellion? You know, it's in our nature. There's nothing more rebellious in this culture than to live for Christ. Because you're going against everything they stand for and want. So this is the time, guys. Let's put on our leather jackets like John the Baptist. We don't have to eat the locusts. But let's go live for the glory of God, because we are the cross culture.
Thanks for joining us today on Building on the Solid Rock. We hope you've learned some new things today as Pastor Troy taught through the Gospel of John. If you'd like to hear today's message again, please visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. We also have an archive of previous messages available to you free of charge, ready to be listened to online or even downloaded and shared with friends and family. We're so blessed to be a part of your life in this way, and we'd love to hear how you've been impacted by Building on the Solid Rock. Feel free to send us an email at info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We love being able to connect with our listeners in this way, and your feedback helps us continue to build this ministry. Next time, Pastor Troy will share more from the book of John and express additional examples of how Jesus proved he was unlike any other man that ever lived. Join us then, right here on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in